Blog Talk Radio. They do get my upcoming shows if you're following the show, but as far as surprising, given format of Blog Talk Radio, the fact that you're connecting with people.
You know, it's natural for some of the natural phenomena that quality
materials. Depending on where you're discussing. Customer support agents available, and they were hosts could reach them by phone if there were problems, and so they cut out a lot of positions in order to profit. And that's unfortunately what happens with many companies, as you're saying, is that the profit becomes the most important and the service declines.
Well, sort of the same thing when you look at it now in terms of our topic, energy, chakra systems. Maintaining a chakra system is something we're supposed to do throughout our lifetime. All the chakras, all the things, the consciousness. You know, we tend to lapse sometimes as we get older. Not to mention we tend to abuse as we're younger. But the maintenance of energy, I think, is important. I know for a fact that there's a lot of psychic readers on Blog Talk that I've been connected with that stopped doing the show because they felt they weren't getting back as much as they were giving, and they just felt used or whatever. They dropped their participation on Blog Talk only due to the fact that they weren't getting proper results. Now, that may be okay in business, but when you're in the business of spirituality, and you drop because you're not getting something back, that is a deterioration of your own consciousness. It doesn't matter. Even if one person is listening, the fact that you maintain your own integrity and purpose, I think is vastly important. We don't tend to look at numbers. So whether we have one caller or no caller.
We do look at numbers in a general sense.
Well, we do.
Numerology wise, I'm joking. Well, so yeah. I mean, we don't cancel a show because we don't have a caller, is what you're saying,
yeah.
Or enough callers.
We don't even cancel our participation on Blog Talk. We continue to maintain, and it's costly, costs money to be on Blog Talk. So we continue to do that, whether we have callers or not on any particular show or any week or month. So I think that it's important, and it goes down to the same level of energy within your body. So if we're discussing chakra systems, and one chakra in your body is kind of not operating, for example, a relationship, you're having trouble with your home, you're having trouble with communicating to somebody, you're having trouble with creating a vision for yourself. We just did a reading with somebody who's trying to figure out what their next step was going to be after they wrote a book. And in the meeting, we helped them discover their second book. See, and then that got inspiration going so they weren't, quote, floundering. The idea that we have to maintain our chakra systems. I go through my chakra systems every day and check them out. I check out each one. And if there seems to be a maladjustment or a deficiency in one, then I focus on that one for the day until it's running normally. I'm not going to let a chakra lapse so much that it's the battery's dead. Something's wrong. So I think we have to look at that every day. We do it in life. We brush our teeth. We take a shower. We eat. We maintain a schedule, and some of us are very rigid.
Yeah, some of us are rigid and some of us aren't. So those that aren't as rigid may have more trouble maintaining their chakra systems. People who, you know, eat on the run and are, you know, overwhelmed by their conditions of life and aren't able to give attention to certain physical aspects of their life are going to lapse more.
Right. I mean, I knew a guy in school that said, I brush my teeth and I suck to feel really the film and scum over them.
Okay,
I don't
this
brush
is disgusting. I'm going to throw up.
Another one said, I don't need to take a shower once every 3 days. Maybe that works. But I don't, we're in the position that chakra maintenance is a daily thing. And we have to look you have to look at your foundation, your home, your relationships, your expression, your balance, your vision about life. Depression can seep into any one of them, and confusion or chaos. And if it does, that means that there's a lapse. Something's wrong in the chakra system. There's a dent. There's something wrong. It just needs to be fixed and maintained so it's running smoothly. But when you're talking about the consistency and the reception, it just occurred to my mind that we have to run smoothly. Our engines of life, all of our components need to run smoothly and in energy. And that just really need two tools, consciousness and breath. Consciousness including attitude. So when you get into that as well, you're getting into relating it to the chakra systems and then therefore the numbers in your birth date relating to such matters. Because we're never going to have very few of us have a random order of numbers. You know, not too many of us are born.
But you mean an ordered system of numbers.
Ordered system.
It's more random.
January 23rd, 1945.
That's more ordered.
That's more ordered. And, you know, it's interesting to see who was born on January 23rd, 1945, and look at their lives and Google them and see what their lives were like in terms of that energy. But the attitude of most of us skip around.
Right. And not most of us, but many of us have missing chakras in the birth date. not all the chakra systems are in the birth date, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
No,
I mean, it's not even possible.
They're missing. They might be between
the
numbers.
Right.
Or
in the higher numbers or in the master number or the karmic number, whatever. But yeah, it's uncommon that every chakra is going to be in.
Exactly. If there's a number missing or lacking, and it's not functioning properly, then what the number is in the birth date may not be a true number. It may not be operating at its capacity. So let's say you have a 2 in your birth date, but your relationships are all messed up. That 2 is now malfunctioning. And so it disrupts the entire system of the code connected to the essence of life, your energy field, how you're wired.
We have to take a caller. It's Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. I just wanted to address what Neil was speaking about earlier about people not wanting to do shows because they weren't getting enough back.
Yeah.
Okay, so... You know, my thought is, you know, we're here to be a service, but if Blog Talk, it's not cheap for some people. So if they're doing things and it's costing them money and they feel like they're not getting through to people, then it's probably not the best way to be of service. There's that.
Okay.
I felt often that I was beating my head against the wall, and it's not about getting back, but it's about, you know, maybe finding a different venue to be of service, one that may not be not financially bound to, because really what you guys are doing is an act of charity.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a good point. That's true, Jennifer.
Yeah.
I see your point. I stand corrected. Yeah, there. Some people leave Blog Talk. It's just not the operation isn't working, and that's not really what I meant. But that point is considerably valid. That was not my intention in making the statement, because not everybody who leaves Blog Talk is doing so in error, and there may be another way for them to reach. Absolutely. You know, that's like saying, well, if you have one store in the corner and you're not getting business, you're really being evil because you move your location to a more thriving business district. No, there's nothing wrong with that. So you're absolutely right. I am amiss in that regard.
Yeah. And when you do reach out and you do, you know, say, end up talking to someone off air about something, you know, that's great. But I never ever thought that was ever the purpose of Blog Talk. And I just thought it was a way for people who may not, you know, have other venues to be of service. And I do consider it like a charity. So I do consider what you're doing to be humanitarian.
Well,
that's all I had to say.
The thing is, I think in reference to the person that Neil was referring to, this was someone who actually did a show that was like a half hour show. And at that time, I'm not sure what the pricing structure is on Blog Talk Radio now, but that was a free show that you can do. Anyone can do a free show for a half hour a week or something like that. That was the pricing structure. And this person gave up because she felt used. And I mean, this is a person that actually had people that called the show, and she had some psychic gifts, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she had some psychic ability, however crude it was. So in that regard, no, I mean, you know, if it's a free service, we're not saying, yeah, pay into something that you can't afford when it's not really productive. In terms of the money that's being invested and it's causing, you know, some kind of problem in your finances. However, if it's a free show and you have a gift to share and you're giving up because of, you know, because you're not getting readings off the air, that's not right.
Yeah. And you know, there was another reader that talked to me and said, well, you know, I'm not getting any bookings, any readings from it. And so I'm not really, it's not profitable for me. I get callers, but they're all just users. They just use me. So I'm not going to go on the air anymore because I'm not getting any readings off of it, private readings. And those, that was really the fraction of energy that I was talking about, not the ones that just decide that there's just silence out there and they look a bit for a better menu to go to. But your point is well taken. But I was, my brain was thinking more of the people that abandon their job of being spiritual because they're, one, they're not making a profit, or you know, for some other ego reason.
Especially when they, you know, go off the air, maybe stop the show, and then there's no continuation of service in another area. Yeah. So the service stops. You know.
You're right. And yeah, and again, you know, you're not supposed to give without the with the expectation of return anyways. So I think they forgot that.
Yeah. But your point, yeah.
But as a marketing platform, Blog Talk is lousy. Lousy marketing platform, that's all I'm saying. But it is a great way to be a service.
It used to be better, I think. There used to be more involvement of the Blog Talk Radio staff, marketing the show, featuring shows more actively, and there was more communication between hosts and staff so that marketing could be done more easily. Unfortunately, that's changed.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's a tougher survival issue because Blog Talk gives you the platform. Oh, they say, go out, but it's up to you. You survive. It's survival of the fittest, but it's also survival of the psyche.
Right. And the thing is, too, what they want, what Blog Talk Radio wants is for the host to have guests every week. And that's the way you get featured on the main page, is having some guests.
Really? I didn't know that.
Huh? Repeat what you said.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what they, that's really how you get featured on the main page, is submitting your show and, you know, writing a description of why this, you know, the guest that you're featuring is important, so on and so forth. I mean, we're a featured show, so we have like top billing when we're live, but so it's like a regular feature. But as far as getting featured on the homepage, that's a different story. And that's really what generates the most calls. I remember when we used to do our show in the evening and we would get featured. We would submit to get featured and we would get featured. This was when it was run totally different. And we, I mean, our phone lines would majorly fill up. We'd get tons and tons of calls we couldn't get to. So it's changed, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I get, you know, we don't supply a chat room.
That's another reason why I think sometimes we don't get as many callers as other shows, because people want to sit in the chat room and talk about, you know, nonsense, or not nonsense, but the things that don't pertain to the topic. And so it's distracting. It's a distraction from the show. I mean, what should be focused on is what the content of the show, not, you know, chatting with people about whatever social.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too many, you know, in the classroom setting, Jennifer, I don't know too many teachers that allow their students to gossip across the aisle while they're giving a lecture. When I went to school, we weren't allowed to talk amongst ourselves unless the teacher said at the time, but there was no chat room in the classroom. You sit and you listen, and then you participate. And we have a more formal conservative structure in that regard. But,
and it may be at the sacrifice of having more callers, but
yeah,
it's, you know, that's just how we want to format the show.
There's a time factor. A lot of people listen to us on the archives. But what your point is being in your defense, that there is, it's healthy to look for a location or a place or a time or a menu where you're being heard. That's totally legitimate. I agree with you.
Yeah, and you're right. It is about the ego. So your ego wants to say, oh, you know, I want to be noticed. I want this, I want that. But, you know, that's sometimes what they're expecting in return, maybe not, you know, bookings or whatever. But, you know, when you're doing spiritual work, yeah, you have to take your ego out of it or you're always going to be disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have participation. It's nice to have the opportunity to be able to help people. So for that reason, of course, we want to have more callers. But, you know, we have to figure that even if it's a content of a discussion that's reaching people, that's helping in some manner or another.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. We actually have another caller on the
Woohoo! I'll listen on the computer.
Well, thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening, too.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. Okay, let's bring on our caller from 412.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. My name is Keisha. I've called into the show before, but it's been a while.
Kay.
Nice.
Is it K-I-S-H-A? I can't remember.
Yeah, K-I-S-H-A.
Okay, I did. And what's your birth date? I don't remember that.
February 3rd, 1979.
And we were dealing with February 3rd, not February 3rd, but we were dealing with these two numbers last night, remember?
Yeah.
3-2. Anyway, in regard to someone else's birth date, but okay. What's your location, Keisha?
It's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All righty. Okay. So she's a 31-4. And 10-11. So what happened in 2010, right? Is that right? 2010, she would have had a change?
Mm-hmm.
2010. I mean, we haven't talked to you in a long time. Just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
2010, you would have had a change in your life. What happened in 2010? You were 31.
I moved that year. I met like the craziest guy on the planet. You know what I mean?
But, oh, wow.
Yeah. And
so that broke up, right?
Huh? Yeah, we kind of broke up. I'm not sure if he's broken up, but I'm broken up.
Well, okay. You're broken up at least. All right.
Yeah. And my dad died in 11, but he was sick. I think he got really sick in 10.
He got sick. Yeah. Well, that's still, yeah. So that's part of the father.
He died like early February 2011, but he got really sick in 10. Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the change too. So you had a job, a move rather, a breakup, and a sick father who ended up crossing. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You were young to lose your father.
Yeah.
32 is young. Yeah. In fact, wow, so you were 32 when he died. And that's actually your inverted month and day, interestingly. So
yeah, he died like 5 days after my birthday, which was crazy. You know what I mean? It was That was an ugly one, yeah.
32nd birthday, which is in your karma, so.
Yeah.
And you've got a 29 going on. So what brings you to the show today?
Okay, so we have it's crazy because probably I broke up with the one kid's father. It was the end of 2009 going to 2010. I moved and everything. So he's coming back around now, I guess, trying to be in a child's life. So I was just trying to see if this was genuine or what the motive was.
Okay, so what's his birth date?
Okay, March 17th. 1988. He's younger than me.
Okay. Yeah, he's younger than you. 7/8/21. All righty. 4 and 1. They become a 5 together, which is your... But he's compounded. And so this is the crazy guy?
No, I met another one.
Oh.
That was there too. My life and men, yeah.
You have some difficulties with relationships. Okay, so, and you have children.
Yeah.
By different men, do you have a child with this guy?
What the kid's father, well, yeah, I got one with him. Not the crazy one. No, I don't.
You
Thank
have
God.
One with this father, this guy, the 31788.
Yeah.
You have a child with
yeah,
this guy.
Yeah, I have one. Yep.
You have one. You have a daughter. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three. So the other two are from, just so we can get everything straight as far as where the children are coming from. The crazy guy you didn't have kids with. You have a
No, thank God. No.
And then two other children with a different father?
Yes.
Okay. But you're asking about this guy.
Yeah, because the other one's in the kid's life, like, you know what I mean? Never really went through, I mean, he done his own things too where we're not together, but, you know, he's been active in the kid's life, you know what I mean? Where this one was kind of just, I don't know, there sometimes, you know, sporadically, basically.
Okay. And when did you, what's your daughter's birthday?
She's February 23rd, 09.
Interesting. So she's got your 2-3 going on in her day.
Yeah. Yeah.
2009. 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 18, 9. Was there any problems in the relationship with infidelity with him?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. And so, and is he involved in her life?
He's just now starting to come back around consistently. Yeah. That's why I was like, what kind of motive? Is there an ulterior motive? Like, you know what I mean? For a while, I don't think he was coming around because I think he was trying to be spiteful to me. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. For some reason, I'm getting a name with a J. Any Jerry? Jerry? Jared in your life?
His name is Jamal. His name is Jamal.
All right. Okay. So
but
that's
I
the
J. But I do have another little guy. I had Jerry back in the day, but if we're talking about him, his name is Jamal, too.
You have another. No, that's okay. So there's another. You said Gary, though?
Jerry.
Jerry. So who's Jerry? Because I was getting a Jerry. His name's Jamal. I did say J initial. So that it fits both the person in question. And then who's this other Jerry? Just quickly, a little story about him.
He's like okay. From somebody. Like long ago, I would say like right before, I guess, Jamal, kind of. So, and then I just reconnected with him like this year. I seen him and we went out partying and stuff, but it wasn't really, it's not like a relationship.
It was a
or
casual
not,
relationship.
Yeah,
so there's a reason
that's
coming in maybe because the relationship with Jamal is not going to be serious if Jerry was a casual relationship. Because it was romantic, romantic relationship, but not serious. I don't know, Neil. And 919, we'll get to you soon.
Keisha, listen closely. Your number system has a 3 in it. The 19 is really a 1 and then a 7. And that is his birthday, 317. So your number, 317, if you will, matches his 317. Now, you have a 2 and a 9 in your birthday, which is an 11, and he has a 317, which is an 11, and his 3 and 8 in his birthday is an 11. He's coming back. You're thinking there's a motive. There's something overriding that. He's coming back because of karma. He's coming back because whether he knows it or not, his soul is compelled to be a father to this child. And so that's what his soul knows. His body may just be thinking that he's got some guilt or something, but if you think there's an exterior motive, no. He's really compelled by something much deeper, and that's his responsibility in the soul to take care of this child in spite of the fact that he's irresponsible.
Which,
so something's compelling him on a moral, ethical level, spiritual level, to do this. It's nothing against you, or there's no conspiracy.
But does that mean that she should get back into a relationship with him?
I don't.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No,
say
you don't
so.
Need to be in a relationship with him. But in order for him to fulfill his role as her father, her biological father, and to provide whatever he can for her, you should allow him to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I am, but I don't want him to hurt her neither. Like, he's
That's what
last.
I was
going to
say, actually. So the question, my question before you said that is, like, for instance, does he have supervised visitation? Is there any court ruling as far as the conditions of the relationship?
But let me tell you, in the 12 years, he's never been to a birthday party. He's never took her nowhere. He's lied and said he was going to come, never showed up. So I just don't want him. And she went through, like, craziness over that. So I don't want him to, you know, open up the Aura box again. Because we got her past that, you know what I mean? Which I think she's older and she's more, you know, like, mentally she could handle it. But when she was younger, she couldn't. But I just don't want to.
You know, Keisha, let him take it step by step. If he proves that he's being responsible with small things, then give him another opportunity. Just take it step by step. I mean, he's irresponsible. We get that. Is he violent?
I mean, me and him used to fight a lot, but I don't, in 12 years, I'm not around him. So I don't know. He's not going to be violent to my child, though. I don't think that.
No. Yeah, I would give him one step at a time. And does he work? Does he have a job?
Yeah, he does.
What does he do?
Like construction.
That's
Every time
thought.
I see him, he's in, yeah.
Yeah, I thought
doing
it was
something.
I would give him a step-by-step, as-we-go allowance to connecting with his daughter.
Yeah, and according to the daughter's wishes as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to keep her desires in mind. But that's our answer to your question.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, Keisha. Thanks for connecting.
Bye. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye. Okay. And Keisha can join us on Facebook and Twitter. Hopefully she will. And we've got a couple callers, 919 and 519. All righty. Hi there, 919.
Hi, Nick. This is Kay. I just wanted to call back give you an update.
Hi.
I just wanted to call back and give you an update. I did go to the prom. My partner did not go. Military stuff kind of came up, but it was fine. I had a good time. It was different not having her there, but it turned out to be very enjoyable. So my energy now is just trying to figure out where we go from here.
As far as your relationship, how are things, have they improved at all?
She's traveling, well, she's still with military. She's on call, so she's not at the house. But the communication has gotten a lot better. So she's scheduled to be back this weekend, so. Of course, there's a little bit of antsiness, you know, not sure what to expect, but I'm trying to, you know, shift that energy to not have any uncertainty, and so that way I don't feel that.
Well, you've got to, I mean, the situation with, you know, I'm not sure what her stance is regarding her brother living there and if she's willing to respect you as far as getting him out. And so it seems like that's kind of where you need to go next. And unfortunately, before you moved in, you didn't really have that discussion.
True.
So now you're in a bit of a bind.
Yes. That I have to kind of figure out how to manage through, but just prayerful that things will work out the way it should for us. So that is where a lot of my attention and my energy is trying to go now, to see if this is salvageable.
Well, your energy, your karma is built in for complications in relationships. So we can't say that this is abnormal. There, you're built to have complications. But then the next answer is, out of that, can there ever be a healthy union? According to your code, you're able to establish a healthy union in life. Your coupling of energy, the 66, is an indication that you can have a really healthy union. You're a 9, so you can, you know, what you might have to manage is your reasoning power. Is it, can you reasonably discuss things with your partner? Is there a way to where if you extend the communication lines that you come to a better, deeper understanding and you salvage a relationship that would otherwise be destroyed because of lack of communication?
So can I interject something?
Yes. Yes.
The fact is that there have been difficulties in the past between you two, and you live separately and you were trying to work out the moving into the house that you own together. And so you did get past that, and you're living
yes.
in the home with her. So
yes.
history dictates that there's the possibility of adaptation, you know, as far as you and her are concerned. So I think there's possibility, but it really is going to take communication and willingness on her part and your part to, you know, hear what the other has to say.
Yes, totally. Understood.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
all right.
Yeah, make it a creative effort. And if it doesn't feel right after you've attempted it, then, you know, move on. But give it a try.
Okay. Understood. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. But I did want to give you an update on the problem. So.
Well, I'm glad you went. I'm sorry she didn't go with you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she did say she felt really bad about not being able to make it as well. So,
no, well, that's
bad about
something.
That.
That's something.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
And there's probably another prom coming up next year. So, perhaps she'll be able
yes,
to join.
Yes, there he is. There he is. There he is. Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye. Okay. 519 is our next caller. Hello. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. I brought you on accidentally. I unmuted you. I apologize. So I'm glad you hung in there after I put you back on mute. I don't know how you got unmuted during our other call. But anyway, who's this, please?
This is Jana.
How do you spell?
J-A-N-A.
J-A-N-A. Okay. Jana. Where are you calling from?
Windsor, Ontario.
I thought this was a Canadian number. Okay. Have we spoken with you before?
No, this is my first time calling in.
Oh, great. Okay. All right, Jana. Well, tell us.
What's your birthday for?
Yeah, let's get your birthday.
August 24th, 1979.
Okay. And what's going on in your life, 1424? What's the reason for your call?
Well, I have many questions, but I'll isolate it to this one that's been on my mind. I have a really complicated relationship with my mom, which I know in and of itself is not unusual.
Okay.
But I'm kind of looking for some clarity or counsel about how to improve the relationship. I'm 41, you know, years old. My mom's in her late 60s, and I would like to make strides to improve our relationship while we're both here together.
All right. You know, I thought it was going to be about a relationship, but I thought it had to do with a man, not your mother. So that's first off.
Well, I have a relationship about my question with my spouse, but that is something maybe not as primary.
Okay, so there is a issue going on with a male in your life, your spouse.
Yeah, I wondered if it's possible that I could have any connection to his mother, who died before I was born and who he lost as a young child.
Oh, you mean a message, like a message from the mother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's her birth date? What's, do you know her birth date? Let's get birth date.
I don't.
Okay. Let's get his and your mother's. Let's see if we can get something.
His birthday is May 16th, 1973.
Okay.
May 15th.
May 16th, 6, 7, 12, 21, 31, 4. All right. You guys are the same master, I mean, same master number. You're 40, but different karmic numbers. You're 40 equals 4, and he's a 31, 4. And, okay, the your mother's birthday.
June 30th, 1952.
All right. 8. She's an 8. Higher master number than you.
Well, her master number is your month.
Yeah.
Her master, she's an 8 in her master number, and that's the month you're born.
Okay.
So they're, and together you become a 12.
Which is
in your first and third numbers.
And she and the mother, and it's the 12 becomes a 3, which is the first number in the mother's day.
The mother, you see, the mother may have a power issue.
Exactly.
Where she can't be wrong. It's really hard for her to be wrong, and she might get defensive in terms of the way you might have been affected or hurt by her in her attitude. And that can include an aggressive wrongness or being passive and kind of not available. But I think your mother comes from a wounded past. She probably has experienced a lot of difficulties and got through them on a survival level, but on a healthy psychological level is wounded. But that extended over to your journey and has created issues that you're left with unresolved according to her standpoint and your standpoint. And so it leaves you in a dilemma with her. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that sounds exactly what I, you know, have felt is that there's probably a lot of her way of being in the world is based how she was raised, her approach to me is usually a little bit of passive aggressiveness and disdain and just a removal if
harsh.
Unless yeah.
You know, we just did a reading recently with this individual, and she said to me, amazing thing happened. My mother asked me if I had anything to say to her, because she's getting older. And she said, you really want to know? And the mother said, yes, I want to know. Just tell me. And the daughter said, okay, here it goes. I never felt like you loved me. And the mother didn't do anything. She just was quiet and heard it. And then she said, you know, my mother didn't really address it, but I said it, and I felt better after I said it, because I didn't want to hold on to it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we don't always get the resolution we want, but I feel that, you know, there's some anger. Your mother probably feels like she's been a bit victimized. Is the relationship with your father, with her husband, or has that been scarred?
They have a relationship that is difficult, and she's usually his first critic and loudest critic. And I don't have a lot of memories from really growing up of observing their relationship, but I know if I try to talk with my father, try to get too much connection with him, I know it bothers her. And so it's almost a bit of an artwork trying to get one-on-one time with him. Because I think there's something going on, but she doesn't really
want me to have access to or doesn't want conversations going on that she is not in the loop about.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's a power. That's a power issue.
See,
she doesn't want to relinquish control in the relationship.
Your mother had poor maternal guidance. Her mother wasn't exactly maternal. And so she's had to get the blades out to survive, and without proper therapy and attitude of mind and body and soul, she's continued on this survival level of being harsh, passive aggressive, because inside of this human being, she's got so much hurt that she doesn't even want to deal with it. So she's built up a fortress. And that's going to be hard on you because you didn't do anything. You just experienced the relationship and then grew your own attitude from that. So it's become vicious. I mean, you know, you could have one of these cinematic moments where everybody breaks down and cries and Julia Roberts is tugging, you know, Shelley McLean and everybody's
Shirley
happy
McLean.
Again.
Shelley.
But I don't. You know, your harshness has to be such, Jenna, that you don't carry your mother's legacy. And if your mother
Well, and I think I have started to, or I picked up some of those patterns, but I'm aware of them, and so I'm striving to you know, break that. But I guess I wonder, is it possible to completely heal from that, even if it doesn't have the resolution of, you know, we address all of the issues and we come to some common understanding. Like, is it possible for me to completely forgive, heal from that, stop repeating that pattern? But, and also I do think that her upbringing with her mom was probably so critical that she, I don't even know if she's aware of where she is in all of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, just because your mother may not heal doesn't mean that you can't heal, and you may not get the resolution that you're looking for with your mother, but it doesn't mean that you can't resolve your own issues. And before you said that, I was going to ask about, do you have children?
4 daughters, and that's partly why this interests me, because I don't want four other girls to have, you know, a cycle of things they need to work off, like, later.
Sure. Well, it's unavoidable that there's going to be, it's really hard to have an idyllic childhood where everything is just totally perfect.
The way to resolve it without resolution is to not recreate your mother within you. Be the higher person. If you can't resolve your issues with your mother, and it's kind of futile, then create your own self-image as to what you idealize to be a good mother and a good human being. Don't try to put the plug back into your mother to get the power. Plug it back into yourself. You're already there, Jenna, because you're calling the show and you're concerned about it. So you're already halfway. You're on second base automatically at the gate. What you've got to do is say, how do I idealize the image of who I should be, who I can be, and then fulfill that in the physical realm? If you do that, don't worry about your mother. Let her be in her space. What you've done is you've created your own space and taken that responsibility without trying to find the plug back into your mother, which may be futile. But you don't have to, you know, you don't have to hate her or anything. You just replug it in. And according to that replugging, and when that leads to your consciousness, then you act according to that, whether it may be disengaging or engaging or whatever it may be. But you've made sure that you haven't been shattered any longer, because you're at an age now where you've got to do this. You're 41.
She just had a change, actually. Let's ask
about
that.
Yeah, at 40.
So she's going to be 42, so it would have been 2019, right?
Yeah.
2019 and 2020, because you're born kind of at the end of the
year.
You
know, sometimes some people, they write letters, and they just don't care about a response. They just write a letter and they say, this is how I feel. And the person receiving it, i.e. the mother, can read it and take it for what it is, or take it in without having to express anything from it. Maybe that might be a private way of resolving.
Or you can write a letter, yeah, that you don't give to the mother and you just get it out.
Yeah,
but
you can do that.
What, just curious, just any change in 2019, 2020, 41, I mean, 40 years old at the age of 40, maybe a move.
In me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, huge changes. I spent the first 40 years of my life living in, like, I don't even think a three-dimensional world, let alone, I was probably in a 2D world. And then I hit 40, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know how else to say this, but other, like, sort of possibilities and dimensions of thought and reality and meaning, all of these things just started to become, like, they started just popping up, questions that I've never thought before, connections I wasn't making before. And so now, like, I feel like I have just the beginnings of some understandings of what this whole human experience is all about. And it's exciting, but it's not something that I wouldn't talk with, like, my mother about any of this, because I was raised, we were in a Pentecostal Christian church. And so lots of spirituality, but very, very narrow in focus, like not in any way.
I mean, I wasn't Pentecostal, but I'm familiar with the religion, and it's very rigid, very rigid, and especially for women.
Mm-hmm. Jenna, did you attempt to go to college and drop out?
No, I didn't drop out.
Well, you talk like you've been educated to some degree.
But you sound like a dropout. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, how far did you go? Did you get a bachelor's? Where'd you go with college?
I did graduate studies, and I actually became a teacher. So I teach high school English, but I'm at the 16-year mark, and I'm thinking about a career change. And, well, I feel like there's a lot of things in flux kind of with my with my career and my professional life right now.
Are you doing a lot of, like, online? I mean, are you having to teach online basically now?
So I am currently on a leave from teaching, just because all of our girls are home, and my husband's job is kind of demanding, so somebody needed to be home a little more. But I took a leave, but I feel like that leave might be more permanent, because I have my sights set on other possibilities for my career.
And when did you take the leave? When did you go off?
2019.
Yeah, so that's your change, part of your change. I mean, on a physical level rather than just a change of consciousness, which is on a higher plane. But
your voice and the content of your language today suggests you've been to college. That's how I got there. The dropout essence may be incorporated by the fact that you're wanting to change
now. And she
now.
Took the leave.
So that might be where I was mistaken, the placement of that dropout essence. But your voice and the content of your questioning, because you're now starting to have questions. And the way that your voice sounded to me, pertaining to the question, suggested you had an education. The dropout will be determined that if you drop out to change, it has to be a dropout to change to learn. So what was your option? What are your options? What are your thoughts about what you want to continue doing?
I am a teacher. I have been a teacher for 15 years, but I'm starting to think that I may be ready to be a teacher of not just students at the school level, but, like, more so teaching other teachers in a more system sort of way, in a broader scope. Kind of offering. So I,
I don't entirely know what that will look like. And I've got a few ideas for books that I want to write. Like I'm kind of a bit all over the place, full of ideas. I'm an idea fountain, but not so concrete on the details.
An English teacher of high school can be in composition. They can be in literature, creative writing. What was your specialty in teaching English?
Literature, poetry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to cliche written. I was going to suggest that you should write a book, and that might be part of the process. But it could be. The essence of your profession and your livelihood could be on the creative aspect of teaching, a teacher being creative in whatever field they are in. I had wonderful math teachers that were so creative in teaching math, which I didn't really like as a student, but their attitude of teaching it was so creative that I was enthused to go to the classroom. So if you're trying to, you're seeking some sort of existential level of because you're seeking, and that becomes existential in its basis. So if you're trying to figure out how to being a creative teacher, because you can teach the basics, or you can teach the parameters of the basics of literature or poetry or composition, but how do you do it in a creative way where it transcends the mechanics of teaching? And that might be something that would be worthy of your exploration, if that's making any sense to you.
Well, you know, it's making more than a little bit of sense to me. About a year ago, I had a conversation with my husband. Let me know if I'm running over on time too. I don't want to eat up your time, but
It's okay. We're at the end of the show. We are at the end of the show. If you want to just real quickly say what you're going to say, you may.
Okay. Well, my husband and I had a conversation around our life's purpose, and I asked him if he knew what his was, and he said his is to coach. And I thought, how can you be so clear on that so quickly, and you can just say it in like one verb? And so I practiced what mine could be, and the only statement that made any sense was, my purpose is to create. I love being creative, and I do have a natural ability in being creative and creating things out of, taking boring subjects and turning them into a creative way of doing them. I do have that ability and hone in on that more.
Well,
yeah,
that applies to teaching, and if you want to, you know.
And since you have credentials, write a book about creative teaching.
Mm-hmm.
What are you asking?
Well, she's saying she wants to maybe train teachers rather than be in a typical classroom student teacher situation. Do training of people who are in the process of learning how to teach. So that would be another way to create curriculum and design a program for those that are seeking training. So that's a possibility too. You're always welcome to call the show back, Jana. We are at our 2-second mark. We're at the time.
Well, thank you very, very much for your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hopefully
it
helps.
I will call back.
Sounds good. All right.
Take care.
You too. And Jana can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. We hope that she does. Our next show is next week, Wednesday at sometime or another, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. We will post the show when we decide the timing. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye.